This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God of peace and justice, we pray for the people of Ukraine today. We pray for peace and the laying down of weapons. We pray for all those who fear for tomorrow that your spirit of comfort would draw near to them. We pray for those with power over war or peace, for wisdom, discernment, and compassion to guide their decisions. Above all, we pray for all your precious children at risk and in fear that you would hold and protect them. And we pray in the name of Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Please be seated. At St. Joseph's, as we continue our church-wide small group series on the Beatitudes and St. Francis, we look this week at the second Beatitude, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." And as we looked into the biblical meaning of that word mourn, we saw that it does not only have to do with mourning for our personal losses and failings, but it also has to do with a heart broken for the world's suffering. We mourn for others. It's with that understanding that I would bid us to continue in our daily prayers, prayers for the people of Ukraine, and for prayers for all who suffer unjustly in so many places, both here and far away in our world. The prayer I just shared with you was crafted by our own Archbishop of Canterbury and his corresponding Archbishop of York. And if you would like to use that prayer, you can easily find it on the internet, on the web. Just Google Archbishop of Canterbury Prayer for Ukraine. We concluded our reflections in the first Beatitude last week, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," with a paraphrased understanding that it has to do with, blessed are those who know they are never finished growing. In this week's Gospel and in this week's second Beatitude, we come to a realization of what it will mean for those who know that they are never finished growing. We mourn, and those who mourn are comforted. It's an important thing for us to consider. Oftentimes, even in the prayer attributed to St. Francis, we could be tempted to look at the opposite of love as hate. But I would like to pose that perhaps more appropriately, the opposite is indifference. If you find yourself negatively incensed against some person, you can know full well that it's a significant issue to you. We don't get upset about things that don't matter to us. Now, what is true of hatred can also be said to be true of mourning in the Beatitude. The opposite of love is not mourning, but the opposite of love would be to be indifferent. We've got some sort of value commitment involved. So anyone we know who is in mourning, that person has reached out to something in love beyond themselves. I have lost something or someone that I love. And so, the call of this Beatitude, when we are called to mourn, is a willingness to continue to risk loving, to not to be detached, to not to be relationship, yes, between the two. If we love, at times we're going to mourn. And there are times that that love is for a past that no longer exists, and God is calling us to move forward. And we mourn what we're losing, But we're mourning it in God's eyes so that we can be brought to new life and rebirth. So the encouragement that this particular beatitude gives us, keep loving. Keep risking. Yes, there will be mourning. But again, the promise is that those who mourn will be comforted. Now, as we also looked in our small group series this week, it's at a biblical understanding of what it means to be comforted. And we like to think sometimes about being comforted as that little pat on the back or the hug from someone we love and who loves us. But it's so much more than that. If we even look at the Latin root of that word, comfort, with strength. It is this idea that when we mourn, we will be given the strength by God to move on. And this is the sense of what's going on in our gospel today. In a few moments, when the children are up here leading us in our prayers of the people, they are going to invite us to respond to each of those prayers, transform us to follow you. This Feast of Transfiguration that Rev. Mary just shared with us, the gospel story from Luke, has to do with our own transformation. We were talking a little bit about transformation last night in our practice for this together. And I think all of our children understand transform from the movie The Transformers or the little toys that sometimes we have. They're one thing and you move a few things around and it's transformed into something else, huh? This is what transfiguration is about for Jesus, for those four who went up the mountain with him, and it is the same for us, to be changed, to be transformed, and dare I say, for those who mourn, to be comforted. Look what Jesus has gone through to this point. You talk about somebody who had a right to be mourning? Well, by the time he was 12 years old, he already had enough of a sense that he had to be about his father's business. And by the time he got to be 30, he turned away from his career as a carpenter and embarked on what God was calling him to be as a rabbi. He went and was baptized by John, and the heavens opened, and he got that comfort of that voice speaking to him from heaven. And then he went out into the wilderness. We're going to hear that story very soon with Lent, that he was tempted by the devil to sort of do something else. Don't do this, Jesus. Take the easy way out. And then he goes into his ministry, and he isn't very well appreciated by the forces that be, because he's calling for a change, a transformation. And so when Jesus goes up that mountain with these four special ones, there is an incredible mourning that really they all had to go through, because they had to let go of their preconceived notions of what Jesus' kingdom was all about. It wasn't about power and earthly glory. It was about being willing to love in a radical new way. And so for those four, as for Jesus, it's no surprise that Peter would have wanted to stay detached and indifferent. It's nice up here on the mountain, isn't it? We don't have to deal with all that commotion down below. But Jesus reminds them, as Jesus understands, this experience is to give him and correspondingly give them and correspondingly us the comfort, the strength, as we come down that mountain and continue to do what God is calling us to do, to continue to love radically, even though at times it's really going to hurt and we're really going to mourn. But the promise is there that we will be comforted. If you know Greek mythology, there's this old story about when you die, you have to go and cross the river Styx, and there is the ferryman there who is supposed to escort you. And the story goes that there is a spring there called Lethe, or Leith. And if you drink from that spring, you will be able to forget everything that you've ever experienced. All those bad things, everything. You will be totally indifferent. But you're also going to lose everything that was a good memory as well. It's the same root word, leith, for that spring. Our word in English, lethal, deadly. And the story goes that there was this one particular person who came there and really struggled with this decision. And she decided, no, I will not drink because I do not want to forget all the love and all of those things that God gave me. Yes, there is mourning, but yes, there is comfort. So we come to this day, comfort. Strength. There are times in our lives where that comfort will not come from anyone but God. Jesus found that. St. Francis, as we read about him this week, giving up his career, his riches, his wealth, his friends, his family, where did he find comfort at that time? The only place he could find it is going to nature. To be in solitude with God in prayer. And having received that comfort, then he came back and embarked on the ministry to which God called him. It is so crucial for us, if we are going to be that blessed who mourn to be comforted, that we continue in our spiritual life of prayer. That we continue to be connected to a community of prayer that at times will be so important for our own comfort. I was telling these children last week that the importance of our presence in church a lot of times has nothing to do with me individually. It has to do with the comfort I unknowingly am giving to someone else. I cannot tell you how many times I will see someone who I know the struggles they are going through, spiritually, relationship, economically, even physically. And yet they are here and they present themselves at this table, not only for their own comfort, but by their presence here. They give comfort to all of us. That is what this sacrament we celebrate today on this communion milestone day is all about. That as we continue to be radical lovers, we will mourn, but we will be comforted. We will be strengthened by the Eucharist, by our communion with God and with each other. One of my favorite quotes is from the great Christian author C.S. Lewis. And in one of his conversations, somebody asked him, "Why do you pray? Do you think you're going to change God's mind?" And his so wise response, "I pray because prayer changes me." May we be so transformed. May we be so transfigured. May we be so comforted. Amen.